this morning is entitled, How to Respond When God Says No. How do you respond when the God of heaven says no to you? And our text this morning is taken from 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verses 1 to 3. And I'll give you a chance to get to it. In fact, I don't think it's on the screen, but that's okay. We're going to you listen as I read audibly. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David, the king, stood up on his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had it in my mind, heart, to build a house of rest for the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and it made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a flawed human being and had faults, but he loved the Lord with all his heart. In our lesson study this morning, we find that David is up in age, and his body is growing weak, but his mind is still strong, and his heart is in the right place. How do I know that? Over in Psalms 108 in verse 1, David said, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even my glory. And at this time in David's life, he wants to do something special for the Lord. David wants to build a house for God in order to place the Ark of the Covenant inside. It was a noble thing to want to do something for God. It was a righteous thing, a holy request. But God said no. How you respond when God says no reveals your true spirituality. Using David as our guide this morning, I want to suggest five right ways to respond when God says no. The first thing we need to do when God says no is to praise him for the times he said yes. David was the king of Israel. He lived in an opulent mansion. He was surrounded by a loving family and many servants. God had brought this man up from being a shepherd boy and a part-time palace musician to be one of the greatest kings to ever live other than Jesus. David was living the good life. Well, anybody can praise the Lord when things are going good, amen? When you got money in the bank, the house note is paid, and you got gas you can put in your car, you dress well, and the children are all right, doing all right in school. When mama can get her nails and toes done, everybody can praise the Lord then. You can stand up in prayer meetings. I just want to say something here. God has been good to me. But I want us to follow the example of David, who said, I bless the Lord at all times. Huh? His praises shall continually be in my mouth. The Apostle Paul says, be joyful always. Pray continually and give thanks under all circumstances. Anybody can praise God when things are good, doing good, but it's hard for the person who recently divorced. It's hard for the woman who had a miscarriage for a baby she wanted real bad. For the person who's barely existing in a nursing home, it's hard. For the person who helplessly see their child suffer, one who lives with a cloud of depression, and for somebody who is standing by a freshly dug grave, for somebody who they love who's died, it's hard to praise the Lord. It almost seems impossible. We need to thank God for saying yes when he does. Amen. Another thing we need to do when God says no is to ask him for wisdom and discernment as to why he said no in the first place. David was not asking for an illicit request. What a great desire to do something wonderful for God. And God said no, but why? Let's remember one thing. God is smarter and wiser than any of us. Let's get that out of the way right now. Amen? Jude said to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. God is not simply up in heaven trying to make life miserable for us. He's not trying to do that. God wants what's best for the kingdom. And whatever is best for the kingdom is good for the king. Amen. In verse 3, God gives the reason why David cannot build a temple. Because he's been a man of war and shed much blood. Let's hear David tell it. He said, but God said to me, in verse 3 of our lesson, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. My goodness. I thought God helped that man to be a man of war, starting with Goliath. Amen? David won battle after battle for God and for Israel, and God helped him to do it. Well, evidently, David shed some blood that God didn't have anything to do with. Amen? Uriah's blood was shed when David murdered this man and took his wife to be his, and he dishonored and despised God when he did that. You know what God said to him? God said, guilty and murderous hands can never be in my house. You shouldn't have done that, David. God also said, because of that, the sword shall never leave your house. You notice in David's family, his family was not an example of family values. All kind of stuff in his family, incest, murder, insurrection. David has problem with his children until he died. God said, no, David, those kind of hands, I'm going to forbid you to build my house. But instead, I'm going to raise up your son Solomon, and he's going to do it. Friends, when we sin, we despise God. But let me tell you, Pharisees, one thing. Don't you point at folks and say, ah, God is getting him. Don't you dare do that, because God is gracious. He is merciful. And nothing you can do that's so bad that God can't fix it. Turn your life around and help you to start all over again and send you on your way and bless you even better than before. And God does that kind of thing. He did not even remove David from the throne. He left him there and blessed him even more because David knew how to talk to the Lord. And when we cry out to God for mercy, I don't care what people think or say, God will fix it, amen, every time. I think it was John P. Q. who said, every time I turn around, my Lord, he keeps on making a way. Yes, he will. Y'all gonna make me preach up in here this morning because I know what God has done for me. I wouldn't be standing here today. What if I listen to folk? Look, let me tell y'all one thing. God is good. I can tell you the story. My Lord, I knew y'all would wake up this morning and start talking to me. Is that all right? I'll cut it off when you talk back. We despise God. That's all right, but God can fix that thing, amen? Many commentators and scholars point to the chronicles of David and Solomon as Moses and Joshua. It's on the pair made that comparison. Moses was not able to go into the promised land because he sinned and disobeyed God. Just as Moses could not go in, but Joshua did. David couldn't build, but Solomon could. Isn't that right? Now let's think about this thing. A military leader doesn't always make the best kind of spiritual leader. The building of the temple was done at a time of peace. God didn't want the bodyguards and people with machetes and machine guns watching while the church worshiped, while the ushers took up their offering. God wanted a time of peace so that people could praise him and worship him in a peaceful environment. That's what God wanted. Amen. Yes, he did. Now, let me say this to you. The building of a temple also required the mind of a smart person. The wisest man in the world, Solomon, would live to build that temple. I give you, friends, I give David credit. He was a courageous warrior, but his son, Solomon, would outrank him, that is, with brain power. Amen? Another thing we need to do, when God says no, understand that when God says something, he means it. He means it. He means it. I used to tell my son, when a woman says no, she means it. One mistake could mess up your life forever. God means what he says, amen? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying open to us to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. Can't get away from it, no matter how hard we try. One of the greatest preachers to ever live, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, pastored the London Metropolitan Tabernacle in the late 1800s, said, as he preached to 10,000 people everywhere, he once said, what was God was God's. What God said, he meant. Young ladies, find a man. A young man who means what he says. Amen? Find a guy who calls you beautiful and not hot. Who calls you back when you hang up the phone on him. Who will lie under the stars and listen to your heartbeat. Who will stay awake just to watch you sleep. Wait for the boy who kisses your forehead and wants to show you off to the world when you're in sweats rather than your sexy dress, who hold your hand in front of his friends, who thinks you're just as pretty without makeup on and with it on, amen? One who constantly remind you, like I do my wife, how blessed he is to have you. I'm blessed. I'm just saying. Find a man who means what he says. Amen. David was not trying to go around God's will. He didn't ask God for a second opinion. He knew that when God said it, that was that. Yeah. Know that one day, friends, finally, know that one day God will say yes. God answers prayer in three ways. He says, yes. Give you what you want. You say no and give you something better. Then he might say wait and give you the very best. Yeah. Nowhere in the Bible will you find God breaking his promises. Never will you go, you and I find him unable to fulfill the promise. Let me just share some things. Some things and ways that God says yes. God, first of all, God says, yes, I will save whoever comes to me by faith. My Lord, if you're lost and wondering if God will save you, the answer is yes. God is waiting for you to say yes to the answer to your soul's need in repentance and faith. When you cry out for forgiveness, he will never say no. Never. To a repentant believer. Jesus says in John 6:37, in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Romans says, 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, my Lord, shall be saved. Whosoever. That means the drug addict, amen, the druggie. That means the adulterer, yes. The murderer, yes. All sinners, yes. God says, yes, I will help you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God is in that text right there, God says two times, yes. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my what? Help. All my help, songwriter says, cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is a God that is not only willing and able, but he'll help you in every situation of life. So, friends, why do we struggle with problems? The first person we call is a friend or the pastor or somebody like that. Call on the Lord first. When you do that, you might not need anybody else. He's God all by himself, isn't he? You don't need anybody else. God has the best advice you can ever get. Talk to the Lord. Amen. You fix it every time. God says, yes, I will answer you. Isn't that right? He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalms 91:15. James says, sometimes we don't get what we need. Maybe God is waiting for me to ask. Amen. Maybe you're thinking God won't say yes, but yes, he will. Every time. God says, yes, I care for you. Peter uses the word careth. That means interested. He's interested. He's concerned. It means you matter to him. Hebrews says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He feels what we feel, and he cares. Amen? God says, yes, I love you. Even though you're a sinner, and even when you do wrong. Let me straighten some of y'all out. We're law keepers around you. We're too much of a law keeper for me. We keep the commandments too much. But you know what the commandments really are? Love. Love God and love your fellow man. That's it. Love. We need to learn to love people rather than holding them to this standard, whatever this standard is. You see, God can take care of sin. That ain't no problem for him. But he cannot make us have a relationship with him. And that's what we need. If we do that, this church would be filled up. When we love people right, they'd be coming in here, bursting down the walls, trying to know what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon these people? What kind of love is this? I'll tell you what, God loves us. No height, no depth, or any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Finally, God says, yes, I will be with you all the way through the journey. Don't everybody know this morning, life is a journey with peaks and valleys and snares along the way. So when things get bad, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. Huh? You're going to be all right when things are rough for you, one after the other. Doesn't seem like everything going to be right. Stay on the journey, amen? Stay with Jesus. David said it was a walk. Yea, though I walk, amen, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God is with us in the journey, amen. When God says yes, nobody can say no. It doesn't take God 24 hours to fix a thing. Mordecai was a gate man. He worked at the gate waving people by and waving them in. And one night the king looked at his book of remembrance. He remembered that Mordecai had done something for him when he looked in his book of remembrance. And he decided the next day to bring him to the palace, from the gate to the palace. Joseph went from the prison dungeon, that is, to being prime minister of Egypt, the greatest nation in the world at that time. It doesn't take God 24 hours. Amen. This same God can still do it for you and do it for me. When God opens your book of remembrance, all your sorrow will turn into laughter. All your days of mourning will turn into dancing. Those who mock you will celebrate you. Those who look down on you will look up to you. Those who say, who are you, will come and say, how are you? And it doesn't take God 24 hours to do it, amen? Help somebody else when God says no. When God says no to you, help somebody else to fulfill the desires of their heart, amen? Now, here's a beautiful picture. Here's David. See him, an old king with his young son Solomon. David pulls out the blueprint from off the shelf. He pulls himself out of the chair, and he stands next to Solomon. Then there they are, leaning over the desk. And David is showing him the blueprint that God gave to him. God had given him the pattern. He didn't quit his ambition. He still wanted to build a temple for God. God told him no, but instead of pouting and quitting, he made every effort to see that somebody else does it. Amen? David says in verse 2, I had my heart in it. I had plans to build it. But in verse 22:5 says he made all the preparation for the temple to be built by his son Solomon. Friends, there's a profound lesson in this morning. I want you to listen carefully to me. You may not reap, but you can sow. You may not water, but you can plant. You may not build it, but you can dwell in it. Yes. You can clear the ground for the building. You can provide the materials for the building. Yet you may never build Had not David gathered the material, laid the plans, bought the site, brought skilled workers in, that temple would not have been built when it was built. Friends, it's never easy to lay aside your dreams. It wasn't for me. Sometimes God, I forgot what that thing called in psychology. Sometimes you can't do one thing, and so you do another. That's the way life goes. You want to do something real bad, you do something else. The best thing to do is leave it alone and say, God, you can use me any way you see fit. That's what I did. God blessed me to meet some people, some of the richest folks in the world. Right now in Dallas, Texas, at Freddie Haynes Church, 15,000 members, they're making up flyers for me to come back there right now. I don't know this man. Somebody else knew him. The preacher said, when you come back, we're going to pay you well. Don't you worry about that. He had me in the Hampton to say, that see that Hilton there? That's where you're going to be. I said, man, I don't care. All I need is a bed and a phone and a TV. He said, no, 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 Reverend. We ain't going to do that. Let me tell you why. If you leave God alone and shut these people off and trust in God, He'll build it for you. He'll do it for you. Every time, He'll do it for you. You hear me? So David made preparation for his son. And then we have the last words of David as he speaks to Solomon. He says to Solomon, know God. He told his son to know God. Then he added something. He said, know the God of your father. In other words, David said, I know the Lord. I want you to know the same God I know. I wonder this morning, what kind of God are we presenting to our children? I can imagine Solomon heard David up late at night singing and writing psalms for the Lord and serenading the Lord. I can imagine he heard his father cry out to God, confessing his sins for the many times he had fallen short. I imagine he saw that. He saw David trusting God as he went on the battlefield. He could trust the God of his father because David set an example. We need to start setting an example for our children. Stop getting into this materialism, having to buy a car every year and buying nice clothes. I got nothing wrong with that. But you do all of that and can't put your kids in church school? Something is wrong with that picture. I ain't fussing. I'm just saying it to you. David says, know the God of your father. You know why David wanted him to know God? Because Solomon was going to be under a lot of pressure. You see, that throne is nothing to play with. David knew it was difficult being king. Say, Solomon, know the Lord. Set your spiritual foundation in order, and I'll build a temple. I'll make you king, but you got to stay with the Lord. But you know what? Solomon didn't listen to his father. He went out there with all kind of nonsense. He went into heathenism. But thank God for his grace. He was able to come back to God. And he said this, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. It's all vanity. I just want to serve the Lord. David said, know the Lord. And the second thing David instructs Solomon to do, I'm closing now in a minute. He told him to serve the Lord, not just know the Lord, but serve the Lord. You friends, there are only two ways to live. One is to pursue God with all your heart and be blessed. The other is to forsake God, and God will reject you. Amen? He'll reject you. Finally, he said, be courageous and do the work. Do the work. David laid the foundation, and Solomon took it from there. Unfulfilled dreams don't have to die. You could live them out to somebody else. Because David knew that that building was God's will. We got to be living, willing to live with God's will, whether we're up front or in the back, doesn't matter. As long as we're in God's will. Is that all right? Yes. I imagine that David, who's a musician in this place, yeah. I can only think, yeah, you're good at what you do. I'm talking to you. Look at me. David, I can imagine, wanted to physically get out there and do something in his old age. Take his hands and be a part of that building. But God left it to Solomon and all the skill men. I can remember when I left this city right here with my two children, when they were young, and my wife, to go out to Texas to teach one of these Adventist universities, Southwestern to be exact. I went out there to teach. When I got there, they were building the Grace Temple Church, which I was a member there for quite a while with my Pastor James Cox, Grace Temple. I can remember when I walked up there to Randall Ford, the pastor, put a screwdriver in my hand and said, man, we're finishing up here. And I put knobs on every door, all upstairs. When I thought about that thing, a few weeks later they had the grand opening and they had everybody and his mother there, the choir, Kirk Franklin was on the keyboards, and man, it was quite a day. And I sat there, I said, you know what, I had a part to play in this thing. At least I put some knobs on the door. Something about your hands and working with hands. Amen. Jesus caught Simon Peter before he went down with his hands. His soft, strong, secure hands. These are the same hands that fashioned wood in his father's workshop. Those hands of Jesus wrote in the sand rather than pointing a finger of condemnation at an adulterous woman. Those hands touched blind eyes and deaf ears and placed Malchus' ear back on him. He broke bread enough to feed a multitude with those hands. In humility, his hands held his own nose as John the Baptist baptized him. Those same hands wiped away tears, even the tears from his own eyes as he sweat great drops of blood. Those hands formed the heavens and the earth, yet they grasped Mary's fingers as an infant. And as it is, those same hands, friends of mine, are going to point, as he did the ascension, those hands pointed out not to say goodbye, but see you later. In the meantime, I'm going to build a house for you. But in the meantime, you go. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'll be back. I'm going to take you to my father's house. Yes, Thomas looked at those hands. He was doubtful. When he saw those nail-scarred hands, he knew that it's the Lord. Let me tell you one thing. It's the Lord in here this morning. And it's the Lord who's waiting right now for you to have a turnaround. I believe somebody came in here this morning and said, look, I'm tired of living like this. I want to change. That's what I want. Now, if you want to change, when you make a change, God can change you and do the rest. It's easy. That's why I'm appealing to you this morning. If you're not a member of this church, I'm appealing to you. If you want to make the change, if you just want to make that change, raise your hand where you are. It's simple. It doesn't take God 24 hours. Raise your hand. You want to make that change? You want a breakthrough in your life? You want God to do something very, very special for you? If you're not a member of this church, I want you to raise your hand. The reason why I'm telling you about a member of this church is because there's something about special about people in this church. A lot of them are not as nice as Catholics. A lot of them, that's okay. Not nice, but most of them are. Amen. Another thing I want to say to you about this church, people live longer than anybody on the face of the earth. They have fewer strokes and fewer heart attacks. My goodness, just for that you ought to join. Anybody want to live long and be healthy? Anybody like that? Yeah. Anybody? Not a member of this church. I'm going to turn around one more time and ask you that question.
Do you want to change? You want a breakthrough? Raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. If you want to say yes to Jesus. Amen. God bless you.